Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
We were just talking there about cooking lobsters. John says, I think Adolf Hitler banned boiling lobsters, live lobsters. Well, he was a vegetarian, so he may well have done that, really. Richie says, for animals, should we assume they feel pain until proven they don't? One always seems to assume the opposite. I do eat meat, but would hope any pain to animals is minimised. Well, you would, really, and just the way lobsters have been cooked always struck me as overly cruel. This reminds me of when Honer accidentally cooked his pet lobster Pinchy, referring to an episode of The Simpsons where, yes, indeed, he did have a pet lobster and then boiled him by accident, but still ate him. Ate him while crying. It was grief and food at the same time. We were talking, though, as well to the pastor at the start of the show about this blood moon that's coming. Well, it's not going to be visible from Ireland, actually. It's only visible from certain parts of the world. That's Pastor Paul Begley. He reckons that's one of the signs of the end of the world. Dara in Cork says, do you think the good reverend would have spoken to you if he was under the impression that you believe the world was round? I don't know. Now, if you go and look at his YouTube channel, there ain't no conspiracy theory he hasn't left uncovered. Planet X, he did make a reference to that there's another planet in our solar system that the government's keeping quiet from us, but it's passing very close to the Earth, blah, 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 blah. Brian in Wexford says, I call BS on this guy. Really, Brian? You perceptive thing. There are no global records of volcanic eruptions or earthquakes or asteroids in Galileo's time. I'm sure in Galileo's time they didn't know if the Earth was round or not. And if you research what was going on in the world 153 years ago when this moon last occurred, then I'm sure it was a much bleaker place. And for a Christian, isn't he using quite a pagan way of predicting the end of the world? Well, it is one of those things that in the Bible you can find a prescription for pretty much anything if you look hard enough. And as I said to him during the course of the interview, I think we've probably interviewed dozens of people at this stage of the game who gave us precise dates as to when the world was going to end, and then you ring them up afterwards and they won't take your call. I don't know why. Maybe the world ended in their part of the world, or at least the phone system went down. Anyway, it is time for our farming slot. Mairead Lavery joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon.
On that topic, though, isn't it true that when you can go back in history to the pharaohs and back to the different civilizations, that, you know, maybe in notation on stone or in tablets, they notice like something like Halley's Comet.
They would.
And you can actually, by knowing the cycle of Halley's Comet now, go back in time and place it in the year.
Oh, no, that's true. But I mean, this guy was saying that there was record numbers of asteroids through the course of history. Now, only in the last maybe 50 or 70 years would we be able to track every asteroid going past the Earth, because in the era of satellites, if you're living in Egypt, you don't know if there's one passing over Ireland.
No, not an idea. Instance. And then, you know, is it there an Armageddon clock? Hasn't that kind of ticked?
That's the doomsday clock, that's clicked? Always been there, yeah.
Yeah, it's clicked a little bit closer to shut down.
That's because, that comes from the Cold War, and nuclear Armageddon is specifically what they're looking at.
That would be
the president that I suspect that pastor perhaps voted for. Joseph says, Joseph, it's a question for you already, before you said it. If there is a fodder shortage in is there a fodder shortage in parts of the country? Why do we still see lorries laden with bales of hay or straw heading north? Saw two in the N7 during a 15-minute trip last Friday.
If they were coming, were they going north or south on the N50?
Going north, he says.
The N7. Yeah, they could be taking a left turn at Port Leash and heading west, or, you know, further up along. Mm. There's the swap scheme going on now. The IFA are organising it within certain counties. So Waterford, for instance, are helping out Limerick farmers, and, you know, different counties are nominated to help out. And the government have put in a help in terms of the transport costs of getting fodder up the country. The bottom line here is that there's farmers who have livestock in since August, because the ground conditions were too wet to leave them out.
Yeah.
So when they went in August, they weren't supposed to go into the sheds until October. That meant that they've ate 3 months' worth of stuff, you know, already. Well, no, they've ate a lot more than that since. But they've ate 3 months more stuff than they should have had. Farmers weren't able to get out onto the fields. And I was up at a wedding in North West Common at the weekend on Friday. And you could see, you know, where attempts had been made to take crops out of fields, and it's just tractors would just have sunk in it and they got out. So the livestock is in. So they're eating the fodder that's meant to last them for January, February and March. So if they're eating that in, you know, September and October, and you're not making any fodder in August or September, then there's a shortage issue.
Yeah.
Now, look, it, we don't know yet because now we're getting an awful lot of rain. Some farmers are saying, thanks be to God, we're getting it now because we won't be getting it in April. They're very believers in, big believers in, you know, the year averages out. So if you get a real dry January and February, you're going to be paying for it in April when the stock are going out. So maybe if we get a real wet now, January and February, March and April will be grand and stock will be out grazing grass like nobody's business by the middle of March.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen until, like, you know, the weather has a good run at it. But certainly, you know, in parts of the country, there is definitely a fodder shortage. They know it and they're acting on it. And that's what matters.
Yeah. Right. So it is calving season, though. That's taking up a lot of people's attention at the moment.
Well, you can say that again. It's been like the whole month of January is like the phony war. You know, you're going out looking at the cows and, you know, making sure you're getting everything ready and everything's lined up and all the pens are ready and the straw is there and the disinfectant and the lime and all the other things that you need. Because the country will turn into a maternity ward for the next 3 months, literally starting this week. In the last couple of days, the first cows have been calving. So we're talking about over 1.5 million births to take place in the next 3 months.
It's extraordinary, really.
1.5.
Put that
now,
figure.
Yeah. We have a very low mortality rate. I mean, a very good track record of getting calves past their first 6-8 week period and getting cows safely through it as well, because there's very close monitoring. And the only thing I'd say is down the country, I'm not talking about, you know, I've heard enough fellas and ladies going to bed at 9 o'clock at night, getting up at 2 in the morning and staying up until 9 o'clock again. It is a 24/7 job. Mm. And, you know, unless you've help, it's very difficult for somebody to be doing it by themselves. So, you know, it is a huge number. It's on both dairy and beef farms. As I said, low mortality, and keeping that low is fierce important. So, I mean, one of the things, the numbers are up, the numbers of livestock in the country are up, particularly on dairy farms. And while they might have been investing in cows and making the grass grow better and more fodder to keep the cows fed, they may not have invested enough in, you know, new calf facilities. And you have to watch for infection, because if you get infection like a flu or a scour or anything like that in a bunch of calves, it'll go through them all like light. Mm. And you, however busy you are trying to lamb down or calve down cows and milk them and mind baby calves, if they get sick, you won't know what hit you. So the objective is absolute preparation and prevention in all cases. When beef calves are born, they're kept with their mums. And, you know, if you can let them out, you can. If you can't, they have to stay indoors. But the objective would be to get them out very quick. Because believe it or not, cows can live in temperatures of up to minus 30 with their calves.
Wow.
Yeah, they're actually well able. They don't like it too hot at all. Mm. And they don't like it too hot in a shed. And outside in the open, if the cow lies down, the calf is able to cuddle in against her and the cow is a windbreak. So calves can exist in cold sheds. What they can't stand are drafty sheds. Now, no more than yourself, if you have a draft coming in around your legs all the time, you know what it's like. So you have to prevent the drafts. It doesn't mind about the you know, you don't need central heating in the shed, but you do need to have to prevent the drafts.
Do any farmers just leave the cattle out?
Not that many, no. Mm. No, because, like, what are they having them for then, you know?
Mm.
Like, the objective is to have something to produce either a calf that'll you bring to a certain weight and kill, you know, and we have it for our dinner, or that you produce in milk that makes cheese and cream and all the rest of it. And sure, what's the point in them walking around the fields?
Yeah.
Now, there's a few out, you know, calves, or not calves, cattle that aren't fully finished, that are kept for the winter, and, you know, they have an area where they can feed off of. But a lot of cases now, the environmental regulations, you know, you can't be feeding silage outdoors, and you can't be near a water stream, and it's easier to have them inside in sheds.
Yeah.
But particularly when it comes to calving, that's where they are. Drafts, one of the best ways to do that is, like, the calves can go into individual little pens to make sure they're strong enough. These are the dairy calves. Then they grow into bigger pens, maybe 10, 12, 15 together. And the idea there is to have a real good nest of straw for them. They recommend about 6 inches of straw, like, and the calves can, like, literally make this little nest for themselves and be very, very sheltered in it. Just in case, we're being told now as well in the journal at the minute that farmers are buying peat and they're also buying miscanthus, which is one of those grass crops, as alternative bedding, because straw has got awful expensive and they're keeping the straw for the baby calves.
Ah, right.
We see, and why has straw got awful expensive? Because we had a real, you know, the harvest
bad winter.
Bad, you know, the harvest wasn't great and a lot of the straw was left there and, you know, it didn't turn out very well. So, farm safety, fierce important now. You know, you've got somebody out in the yard, or 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, they're waiting for a cow to calve, or watching two cows to calve, or they're going up and down to the kitchen, having a cup of tea, going back down. Then they're facing into their day's work and all the additional work that calving brings. And they're doing it night after night after night. It's very easy to let down your guard when it comes to farm safety and, you know, to just forget about what you need to be doing. The one thing you cannot do ever, no matter how quiet she is or how docile the animal is, you cannot turn your back on a newly calved cow. It is 700 kg of muscle coming at you if they think you shouldn't be there. And it's one of the big danger areas on farms where people are getting seriously injured or even getting killed. So never turn your back on a cow.
I mean, when they've just given birth, presumably
they're
just
given
very
birth,
protective.
They're very protective. They don't want anyone near their animal or leave their little calf. And, you know, and that's understandable. So, you know, farmers just don't be taking chances on that.
Mm.
Often, you know, there's the first feed that a calf gets is, and a lamb for that matter, is absolutely vital. It contains colostrum, which is the, like, you know, the antibodies that really prevent infection. It's so important to get it into them in the first hour of life. Very often, if the calf is maybe a little bit weak or whatever, or mightn't get to its feet quick enough, or maybe the cow isn't, or the heifer, she's a young heifer, which is a first calver, and she hasn't come into our milk, you know, farmers will give the colostrum because they will have saved it from another cow and they will make sure the calf is getting fed. And it's so simple to turn your back on the animal while you're putting the stomach tube maybe into the calf to get this magic stuff. Like, it's literally magic. I've seen it with lambs. They just literally jump out of their skin after getting it. And it's absolutely essential for them. So when you're doing operations like that, to make sure that you don't turn your back on the animal. Hygiene, essential. Hygiene is number one. Power wash everything, let everything dry. Then there's these fancy things where you can get a foaming gun, disinfectant. So, like, it'll create a foam on the walls or on the floors or wherever, and you'll make absolutely sure you've covered everything. Put them in, you don't have to use one that fancy a thing. That needs to dry, and then you bed with straw. Lime is a really, really good disinfectant as well. It kills a lot of antibodies, not antibodies, bacteria.
Yeah.
When it comes then to help farmers, you know, like an awful lot of, say, the tillage or the dry stock farmers or the suckler farmers, you know, they're working part time. They're out on a job today. And, you know, they've cows calving at home. So how are they managing? Well, there's a couple of things. There's a thing called MooCall. And it's a device. Yeah, MooCall. It's a device on the back of the backside of a cow. And it can, you put it there, you know, like, she's going to be calving now in the next day or two, or so is she and this woman. So it's a device you can put on the cow, and it sends, it is able to literally feel the contractions or feel when the cow is starting to think about calving. And it sends you a text message.
Right.
Onto your phone. So you're down, you know, 15 miles away in the local factory, or you're in the school or wherever you are teaching or doing whatever you're doing, and you're getting a little text message on, you know, Millie is going to be calving in the next 8 hours or whatever. So very often people like that maybe have a neighbour who's going to give them a handout. So rather than send the neighbour down every hour to check on the cows, you only have them send them down when you get the moo call text. So it's a big help. Also, cameras. Now, we're used to having cameras down in the lambing or in the calving areas. And, you know, so you're up in bed, and instead of having to go down, put in the wellies and pull up the trousers and put on the hat and go down the yard in the middle of the night, you know, there you have the camera beside the bed and you can have a good look and see what's going on. But you don't, now you can have the camera on the phone and everything. You can take it from different angles. You can take, you can have cameras in different locations and the messages are all coming through to your phone. So technology is really helping take some of that misery. Now you're still awake. Like, this is like every year. Can you imagine a newborn baby every year?
Yeah.
Like, and you've got a whole pile of them because you're going to be up every night for at least 3 months for most of the night.
Yeah.
So that's actually what it's like having newborn babies.
Yeah, anyway. Well, actually somebody texted to say, spare a thought for us pig farmers. Pigs giving birth 24/7, 365 days a year to ensure our country has a supply of pork and bacon. Always choose pig meat with the Bord Bia logo to help support Irish bacon, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But we do spare,
well, he got his plug in.
Spare a thought. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, they're organised for that. They're organised. But on dairy farmers or not. And actually this year, for the first year, we've got the first New Zealand farm worker has come over to Ireland.
Yes.
Now, usually it's been always the Irish going in the opposite direction. We're going out there to do the milking or during the calving season, which kind of very coincidentally takes place in the summertime, you know, which is their kind of, well, in the autumn time, which is their spring. And so now the first one has arrived over, a gentleman has arrived to a farm in Cork and there are more coming. So the Farm Relief Service is organising that because there is a shortage of well-qualified people who know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a long way to come though, but I suppose the two places are equivalent to each other.
I mean, it's a long way for our young ones to be going as well.
It's true. Yeah,
and,
it's true.
And they go in their, you know, in their droves out there and learn an awful lot. And the other thing about the you know, you don't need to be, you know, the lights in the sheds are very expensive in these, you know, in any shed. And most, you know, you only leave them on when you need them on.
Mm.
So again, these cameras and everything now work in infrared.
Yes.
So, you know, you're even saving on energy. So I wish everybody, look, we'll be lambing. We won't be lambing now until Easter. We wait until the grass is well grown.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's so because whatever, wiser thing to do.
Whatever about, you know, having lambs or calves indoors, by God, having lambs indoors is a different kettle of fish entirely.
Yeah. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal. Thanks a million, Mairead, as ever, for coming in to a small bit of breaking news. President Michael D. Higgins has just signed the Intoxicating Liquor Amendment Bill 2017 into law, which means, of course, now that you can go to the pub on Good Friday. First, the gays get married and now this. Good God, what's next? Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.